Six Music. Music News.
Music News with Matt.
As we've been talking about all morning, and you would have heard yesterday on Six Music, Marky Smith of The Fall has died, age 60. The Fall's manager, Pam Vander, confirmed the news, didn't reveal much information about the circumstances of his death, just saying on Twitter, "The day I've been dreading. It was with deep regret that we announced the passing of Marky Smith. He passed away at home this morning. A more detailed statement will follow in the next few days. In the meantime, Pam and Mark's family request privacy at this sad time." The Fall had cancelled a series of gigs last year. There was a 7-date stretch of concerts in New York, which would have been The Fall's first US shows in 10 years, with his manager citing a mix of bizarre and rare medical issues connected to his throat, mouth, dental and respiratory system. It's kind of hard to know where to start describing Mark's influence, and difficult to know how to pay tribute to him, because you kind of get the feeling that the idea of various media commentators suddenly discussing their passion for The Fall would have been exactly the thing he would have absolutely hated.
Yeah.
Having led The Fall through 4 decades and innumerable lineup changes, he kind of stands as one of the most remarkable characters in British music, a truly original lyricist and songwriter, a combative, contrary, seemingly antisocial, singular figure who loved his band and loved his music but refused in any way to temper his character for what, you know, a singer in a rock band is supposed to represent. He was born into a working class family in Salford, March 5th, 1957. Grew up in Prestwick. Found work originally in a meat factory and then as a shipping clerk on the Manchester docks, where he used to write music on his lunch breaks, but then saw the Sex Pistols play at Manchester Free Trade Hall, quitting the docks to go and form The Fall, named after the novel by Albert Camus. The gig that the Sex Pistols played at is kind of famous because it was a show that would inspire countless other bands in Manchester, including the Buzzcocks, from forming. Here's Mark talking about that moment.
I was just interested in any groups that were playing anything vaguely garage. I was, you know, always into, like, Can and a lot of the American mid-60s groups who sort of made one sort of single and disappeared, like sort of Our New Single is by a group like that, you know. And I sort of, I went there and I thought it was pretty good. I mean, it was, I sort of had a group then of three of us, but we didn't sort of, the good thing about it was we never sort of took ourselves seriously, because in them days, you sort of still thought you had to have like smoke bombs and everything to even go on stage or even contemplate doing anything on stage, whereas these people were like sort of, you know, doing really good songs, and everything was very interesting what they were doing, and you know, we thought we could do as good, if not better.
So The Fall were launched by Mark alongside his friends Martin Brammer, Tony Frill and Una Baines. Una Baines apparently missed the first gig because she couldn't afford a keyboard, so wasn't there. Their first two albums, Live at the Witch Trials, which was recorded in a single day, it's a bit of a classic, and Dragnet, both arrived in 1979, both of which feature a Mr. Mark Riley, friend of this parish. The idea of The Fall being a vehicle for Mark was established pretty early on, and over 4 decades he hired and fired dozens of musicians. 66 band members, I believe it is, came and went over their existence, and about one third only played in the band for less than a year.
It was almost like a sort of youth employment scheme in the 70s and 80s and up north, that, really.
Yeah, it wasn't just musicians. He once reportedly fired a sound technician for ordering a salad.
I hope that's true.
I hope that's true. But as Marky Smith once famously said, if it's me and your granny on bongos, it's The Fall.
But he got this thing, his reputation as like, just a sack master, you know what I mean? Keep firing people and all that. This is even like common knowledge now. Even anywhere I go now, people on the street go, you're the one who's had all them group members. I don't see what the problem is.
But from 1979 to 2017, they released some incredible records, 32, I believe, studio records, almost as many live albums, occasionally grazing the mainstream, I suppose. 1993's The Infotainment Scan went top 10, and their cover of Holland & Dozier's There's a Ghost in My House was a top 40 hit. But that was never the point of The Fall.
No, I remember when the Friends experiment came out, they sort of, everybody went, oh, you know, that's well produced. You're really going for it, aren't you? You know.
Yeah, Mark was just always interested in pursuing his own, you know, is artistic muse too pretentious a statement? I don't think it is. It was
just ploughed his furrow.
Exactly, you know, which would take the form of these incredibly satirical, surreal, caustic, sometimes very intricate, sometimes sort of sci-fi, sometimes sociological songs with often very incomprehensible lyrics, but just unlike anybody else. Here's Mark talking about his songwriting and his lyrics back in 1985.
I'm told I use too many words,
But you see, what I have is a very original approach to writing, you see. Because it's not educated, but it's not jargonized, I don't think. I hope it's not. I just write sort of stuff, you know, that supposedly has got something to say, you see. So sometimes I forget about that. I mean, that's a good thing. I mean, it is. It's something you've got to remember. You're writing music, and you've got to have a word that puts a chill up everybody's spine and stuff. Yeah. It doesn't matter what the word is, it's the way you use it with the music. Sometimes I sort of overreach myself and I just write a lot, and I think it's good and perverted by language a lot. It happens a lot that, you know, it's just the verse is the main part of the song, you know.
No one has ever taken inspiration from as many obscure references and sources as Mikey Smith. I mean, his impact on other bands is just staggering, be that Pulp, LCD Sound System, Interpol, Pavement especially, even bands like Cabbage who are around at the moment.
Yeah, very much.
John Peel obviously championed the Four, played countless sessions for them. He was married 3 times, first tied in 1983 with Brick Smith, who became a band member, of course, and she's done shows on this station. After their divorce, he was married to Saffron Pryor, who had run the band's fan club. And during the 90s, he married Elena Pulu in Berlin, and she joined the Fall as a keyboard player in 2002. His partner at the time of death was Pam Vander, who was the band's manager, as we just said. Last year, the BBC, let's not forget, mistakenly announced that Mikey Smith had died.
I bet he found that quite funny.
Prompting him to reveal, like, I mean, he sort of said in minutes he was being stopped by fans of the Fall saying that he was dead. He said he was actually quite ill around that time, but had started to feel better. He said it's kind of interesting when people come up to you and say, oh yeah, by the way, you're dead. So yeah, we obviously send our best to his former bandmates, all of them, and obviously his family, his friends.